recognized that a flood engulfing one would soon swamp them all. So even though 20-some leaders all represented sovereign states, they agreed to common and synchronized actions to chart the same course toward calmer waters. Ideological differences were set aside, old enmities were not raised. I would say this, if you had arrived from another planet, you could never have guessed which nations had spent decades mired in hostility. Now, you might call it the Fellowship of the Lifeboat. But ladies and gentlemen, in that brief parting of the veil, I saw world leadership at its best, a glimpse of a hopeful future, one where we act together for the good of all, the world we have been trying to build since 1945, the world we want for our children and grandchildren. It shows it can be done if we act together. And I call this enlightened sovereignty. And I believe our understanding in Washington, just in Washington, allowed us to avoid the cataclysm that otherwise really would have come to pass. But an agreement to act is just the start. It is acting on the agreement that matters. So when the G20 resumes in Toronto, the discussion should be less about new agreements than accountability for existing ones, less about lofty promises than real results, less about narrow self-interest in sovereignty's name than an expanded view of mutual interest in which there is room for all to grow and prosper. Enlightened sovereignty, then, the natural extension of enlightened self-interest.